activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast. It's Monday, April 30th, 2012, and this is another Galactic Netcast, the Sci-Fi Film School, number 28. I'm Dave Nelson, and on this episode, we're going to find out if a rock musical about a dystopian future is worth it or a complete waste of time. Joining me is the lovely and talented Anessa Moyens. Anessa, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. And the equally stunning and maybe as talented Matt Stein. How are you, Matt?
I'm creeped out. Never, ever call me as equally stunning as a lady. I mean, if I was a lady, you could say that, but it's just creepy when a guy calls another guy stunning.
Okay.
Other than creeped out, I'm pretty good, Dave.
All right, before we get underway, I have to apologize to our podcast listeners for a couple of reasons. Number one, for taking 2 weeks off. And number two, for flooding your feed with old episodes. I've been doing some behind-the-scenes mechanical stuff. It turned out that all of our episodes weren't showing up on iTunes, so I've been actually taking all our episodes and transferring them over to a new platform, and in the process, you're getting like every old episode that we ever did in your feed. So my apologies to you, but it'll be better for the people that have never listened to us before and want to go back to the original, the very first episode.
How long have we been doing this?
September.
Really?
Yeah.
It's been that long?
Yeah. This is enough stuff that people don't really care about. What they subscribe to this podcast for is to hear us talk about a science fiction movie. For those of you that want to join us as we live stream this on Spreecast, we do it about every other Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Time. And for our Spreecast.com viewers, feel free to ask us questions throughout the show. If you have a particular comment about this movie, either throw them into the chat room or submit it where it says comment or question. Let's get it going here and start our lesson for the week. This week's assignment was the 2008 horror rock opera musical film Repo: The Genetic Opera, based on a play written and composed by Darren Smith and Terrence Zdunich. Zdunich. However you pronounce that, I have no idea.
Zdunich. I don't know.
Rated R, the movie ran 98 minutes, cost $8.5 million to make. On Rotten Tomatoes, critics gave it 32% rating. Audiences, 73%. The more famous of the cast included Alexa Vega as Shiloh Wallace, Paul Sorvino as, these names. Me and pronouncing things. Not good company. Ratismo, Roddy Largo, Anthony Head as Nathan Wallace. Of course, Anthony Head, best known for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sarah Brightman as Magdalene, Blind Mag Defoe. Paris Hilton as Carmella Amber. Bill Moseley as Luigi Largo. Terrence Zdunich as Grave Robber. And Joan Jett as a cameo guitar player in one scene.
As herself.
The film opened in a very limited release on November 7th, 2008, in 7 theaters, took in around $3,000 per screen. It's weird to hear thousands and not millions of dollars on these films that we talk about. A 22-track soundtrack was released online September 30th, 2008. To coincide with the film's release, cast and crew did a tour version of the film. So these guys went around and actually performed this movie, I'm sure a shorter version of it, in live theaters, which is pretty cool. So if you're watching us on Spreecast, there's the link to more information, and we'll also include the link in the show notes of the podcast. So let's get a review from you guys, Anessa and Matt, together. Maybe as a joint effort, you can explain the movie, Repo: The Genetic Opera. Who wants to go first?
She can.
I can, I guess.
Do you guys remember the movie? It's been 2 weeks.
I do.
She loves it.
In comparison to Matt, yes, I do.
Well, wait a second. Let's explain a little bit. You suggested this because you had seen this before either of us. So that's why we're why we watched this. So that's why you know more about it and you like it. I guess, Anessa, you would be the best equipped to explain the movie.
All right. Well, Repo takes place in the future. I think it's like 2022. I forget the year. But there's this great epidemic of organ failures and a lot of people die. And this company comes along named Genco. And they allow people to finance their organs so that way they can survive. But if people don't make their payments, then their organs can get repossessed. And eventually it went from saving lives to being cosmetic surgery. And so anyone and everyone gets something done at some point in their life, if not multiple times. And so it follows along one of the repo men and his daughter, like their story. And let's see. So the repo person, Nathan Wallace, has a daughter, Shiloh, who's sick. And he has to do all these jobs for Roddy Largo, which is his boss and who heads up Genco. And he ends up getting a job that he doesn't want to do. And so lots of secrets are uncovered, and Roddy's trying to find an heir to the throne because he's dying. And so there's a lot of singing.
A lot of singing and a lot of secrets. A lot of secrets. They're going into this
movie. A lot of secrets and a lot of singing.
Yeah, I had no idea what this movie was about before I went into it. And man, my God, around every turn, there's somebody revealing something. So, Matt, why don't you tell us what you thought of it? I mean, as a whole, as a musical, as a rock opera. Tell us your thoughts, your feelings, your inner, I don't know.
Innermost desires.
Yeah.
I really liked the story. Like, I thought it was kind of a cool story. It was different, not something you've really seen before. But my personal problem with musicals is that I it's really hard for me to believe it as being real life. Because when was the last time, like, you were talking to your buddy and you just broke out in song to tell him a secret? So musicals to me really hold no weight as being like a valid escape from reality to get into something different. Because I find myself being annoyed by constant singing. And it's not that I have any sort of grudge against music or singing or anything, obviously, but it's, I don't know. I can't get behind it. Also, I felt like most of these people, they were just talking, like talking notes. They weren't really singing. And the people who did sing couldn't sing. So it was, I guess I understand it's supposed to be a rock opera, so it's not supposed to be singing. But not only that, this movie felt like, and how long was it? 97 minutes? So a 1 hour and 37 minute crappy Evanescence song. And I loathe that band. So listening to them for an hour and a half made me want to punch babies.
No, the music was very reminiscent of Evanescence. I agree with you.
Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, take out the singing, and although like my wife and I were watching it, and she had seen it prior apparently, but we both kind of agreed that if you took out the singing, it would have been like 20 minutes long. If it was just a flat story, it would have been really short. So the singing elongated. I mean, you take, you know, this lady was best friends with your mother, and now you got to cut out her eyes, and now you make it into a 6 minute song. And that's basically how that movie was comprised.
No, I agree that there was a lot of singing for a musical. There was a lot of singing. I've seen musicals where there was a lot more talking than this movie had singing. Don't you agree, Anessa?
Yeah.
And Matt or Matt?
I do, but I think what they were trying to go for is to try to make it more like an actual opera where most, if not all, of the parts were sang.
Okay.
Sure, that would make sense. So, I mean, I don't know.
I think that's what they were going for, but yeah, a lot of people just see it as a musical with a lot more music than what they first anticipated.
Okay.
So there's like a few lines that are actually spoken flat, like no singing, and the rest have some sort of melody that they kind of follow.
Yeah, I never thought of it as an opera. Oh, I never thought of it that way. I didn't put that in my mind going, they're trying to actually do an opera. I thought it was more of a musical. So that's a very good point.
Don't let her win this, Dave.
Matt's just bitter.
I mean, I agree. I do agree. When you think of it as a musical, there's generally a half and half, I would say, maybe a little more half singing. But I guess an opera is primarily singing.
Mm-hmm.
And now it makes more sense. Can we just get like a non-musical version of this movie? Because I'd watch that.
Well, you could take it and edit it down if you want. Just take out all the singing.
It would be like 20 seconds long.
And you wouldn't get it.
It's like a one-minute movie.
And you probably wouldn't get it either because there's so much told within the songs.
Well, right.
You would summarize. It would be like the 30-minute bunny movies. The little
movies.
For 30 seconds. 30-second bunnies.
All right.
I forget what they're called.
So there you go. That's our... Those are our feelings. That's the interpretation. That's the... God, help me out, please. Somebody just slap me. Reach through your screen right now and slap me in the face to get me to actually be able to talk and host this damn show. All right, so that's the movie.
Today, Junior.
That's the movie right there, okay? And before we move on, let's break for this sponsor right here.
Hi, I'm Blind Mag. Your treasured memories don't have to fade with time. Announcing Jinko's Cornea Plus. Jinko's breakthrough optical technology where everything is digitally recorded so you can relive your favorite memories again and again.
Don't miss out on tonight's genetic opera.
All right, there you go. A commercial from the actual movie. And here's a commercial for us. If you want to leave us feedback and let us know what you thought of Repo, the Genetic Opera, if you watched it. We have an email address. It is galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail number, 805-328-3966, or leave us a comment on the actual blog page at Galactic Netcasts. Actually, you know what? We have a new subdomain. It is school.galacticnetcast.com. So our show actually has its own URL, our own URL, school.galacticnetcasts.com. So go ahead and leave us a comment on the blog page, and we would love to hear your feedback. All right, time to play some clips from the movie. And I will start. Where's my folder? There's my folder. All right, so here's the first song of the film and our introduction to the Repo Man.
Out from the night, from the mist, steps the figure. No one really knows his name for sure. He stands at 6'6", head and shoulders. Pray he never comes knocking at your door. Say that you once bought a heart or new corneas, but somehow never managed to square away your debts. He won't bother to write or to phone you. He'll just rip the still-beating heart from your chest!
Matt is going to kill himself before the end of this podcast.
I just zone out.
Any left?
I saw it in your eyes too.
Words.
I could tell that you were. I could tell that you were zoning. Very nice. All right. So
I was
that's
paying enough attention to know when it stopped.
That's the first. that's the first song in the movie. And Matt, you've got the next clip. Tell us all about it.
Oh boy, I wasn't paying any attention. We find out what Shiloh's story is in the scene.
There were these bodies.
You missed your medicine and fell unconscious.
They were all dead.
Nonsense. Please be more cautious. You could go into shock.
But it was real, Dad.
I'm the doctor, and I'm your father.
Didn't imagine this.
Please, Shiloh, drop it.
Couldn't have fathomed this.
Please, Shiloh, stop.
Dad, I can smell the death.
You could have died. You scare me to death.
It's a long one, by the way. keeps on going.
That took your dear mother from us, passed from her and into your veins. I'd be lost if I were to lose you. I will stop at nothing to keep you safe.
I'll take my meds, Dad, don't you worry.
Just until I find a cure.
I was just thinking about Matt's feeling about musicals and operas, how people in everyday life don't break out into song. And I was just, that was just going through my head during that song. I'm sorry. So there you go. That's Shiloh and her story and her father, their relationship together. Now you've got the next clip, Vanessa. What do you got?
In this clip, we find out how Nathan's wife really died.
Nathan Wallace had potential. So he stole my money away. In denial, Nathan blamed himself for Marnie's sudden death and never once thought to suspect the man who wrote his checks. I guess I'll take it to my death. Marnie, it's Rolte. You never should have left me. I would have given you the world. It's been difficult to see you after what you put me through. You forced my hand and made me do. Well, it looks like I'll be joining you. It seems the man who cured the globe cannot stop his own extinction. But I can go out with a bang.
What was the TV show that he was in? What's the actor's name again? Paul Sorvino? What was his biggest role?
Sorvino?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Well, he's done movies and TV, right?
Yeah. Paul Sorvino.
And he's also got a daughter that acts. She's been in a few things.
1990 gangster film Goodfellas.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in Goodfellas.
He's also on Law and Order.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it.
He's the father of Mira Sorvino.
Yep. All right, now we know. Here we learn about how to administer the drug Zydrate.
Zydrate comes in a little glass vial.
A little glass vial?
A little glass vial.
And the little glass vial goes into the gun like a battery. And the Zydrate gun goes somewhere against your anatomy. And when the gun goes off, it sparks and you're ready for surgery. Surgery.
I actually like that song a lot. That was like my favorite song in the whole movie. I was glad to go back and play it again when I had to record it.
You're like, yay, Zydrate.
Yes. You know, who was your guys' favorite character in this movie? Mine was the grave robber. He just seemed to be like just hanging out, cool guy. I think he was the least evil of all the people in the film, even though he was a drug dealer. You know, even though he was giving drugs out to people and some of them eventually probably got hooked and either died. But he seemed like the less, except for Shiloh, the least evil person in this whole movie.
I don't know who my favorite character would be. I liked Nathan Wallace as the Repo Man. Because he seemed to really enjoy hacking and slicing away at people.
Yep.
And then that whole torso puppet thing when he was singing.
Yeah.
And then he has that little realization like, wait, this is kind of creepy.
Yeah, this movie.
I love that.
He was very passionate about his killing. And this movie, there was actually scenes in this movie that were kind of gross. That freaked me out a little bit because it was so graphic.
Well, yeah, and it was made by the people who did at least Saw 4, and that was the whole point of making Saw 4 was to help finance the.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they used a lot of the same set, and I want to say that there's some actors that actually made their way into this movie that were in Saw 4, but I've never actually seen Saw 4, so I don't know.
Yeah.
By what the commentary said.
That's interesting. I had no idea. Okay. Well, thanks for letting us know. Okay, Matt, what do you got?
What did I learn or who did I like?
No. Yeah. Okay, let's ask that question and then you can move on to the next clip. Who was your favorite character?
I really like Bill Moseley. I think he plays the creepy weirdo very, very well in every movie he's in. I've really come to like him because he's in House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil Rejects.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was the first movie that I saw him in and like recognized who he was. So I don't think I could see him in something that wasn't like a creepy lunatic rapist kind of thing without it being normal. Like, I mean, couldn't see him in a comedy film and take him seriously.
And he's got a long, long history of being in these. Like, I think he was in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, not the first one, but the remake from the 1980s. Okay, the second one, yeah. Yeah.
He's in, I'm looking at his movies, he was in a lot. Night of the Living Dead. He was in Army of Darkness. I didn't know that, which probably doesn't mean anything to you.
No, I know what that is. He's definitely He's definitely a cult movie actor. He's always in the horror films or the weird movies. Yeah. Cool.
Yes. He's in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D that's coming out.
Whoa.
That should be a piece of crap.
Yeah.
That'll be a hoot.
I'll probably go see it. Who am I kidding?
You're all talk, Matt. That's all you are.
I don't know. I thought he would be in Rob Zombie's new movie that's coming out, but apparently not.
Rob Zombie is coming out with a new movie?
Yeah, it's The Witches of Salem, I believe.
It's kind of a cool title.
Yep. Witches of Salem. But it's not, I thought it would be, I don't want to get off topic, but I thought it would be about the Salem witch trials, and it's not really about it. It's like loosely based on it, but that's about it.
Okay. All right. So let's move on with clips.
Back on track.
What do you got for a clip?
This is where we find out how Nathan became the Repo Man.
The dark, fateful night when you murdered your wife. Marnie was past helping. Shiloh's life was
slipping.
She needed her dad, and I needed skilled hands. So I fixed things. We made an agreement.
I will honor that agreement.
You'll do as I'm told, and Shiloh never knows
about that dark and fateful night.
Oh, my secret repo life.
That was probably the most representative of what you were talking about earlier, how they were just singing, talking. It wasn't really a song, really.
Well, it was every time Roddy, whatever, the big fat guy, he never sang. He just talked. And every song that he sang, it was just talking. At least like Nathan and Shiloh sing. They sing their parts for the most part because they could sing. Everyone else, it was like talking in notes.
Speaking of Shiloh, did you know that that was her first role in a movie or in anything? I read that. That's very interesting. She did a great job for her first role.
I thought she was in some kids' movies before that, wasn't she?
I don't know. Maybe I read it wrong.
I can't think of.
we're all online looking.
She was in Spy Kids 1, 2, and 3.
That's what it was.
Oh,
like,
okay.
She was in Spy Kids.
Okay, it was somebody else though.
There
was somebody else on the cast that was their first role. I have the wrong.
Maybe Sarah Brightman. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
She's an opera singer.
Yeah, there was some really talented people on this film. But then again, there was the ones that weren't talented, like Paul Sorvino, and Paris Hilton was not the most talented of this cast.
Yeah.
Although,
the ending was great.
I will give Paris Hilton credit for putting herself out there as having an ugly face. You know, in that scene where her face is all mangled, I'll give it to her that took some guts for her to do that, you know?
Greatest thing was when her face fell off.
I mean, she was also in the House of Wax remake where she got a big pole through her head, so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think she just wants to be with cool kids.
That's true. All right. So, Anessa, you got the next clip.
Okay, sorry. In this clip, we find out who Roddy is leaving Jeanco to.
Okay.
Before I go, my kids will know about the man they have crossed, as Money did the day she fled and became Nathan's wife. She forced my hand, he dug a grave. I will not be betrayed. Empty the trash of all of them and leave it all to the kid.
See, Paul can kind of sing. That was very opera-ish, that one part right there. But he did do a lot of like talking singing too. So I don't know.
Yeah, he did. He kind of reminds me of Mr. Magoo. The way he looks.
Yeah, I can see that a little bit. Maybe he should star in a remake of a Mr. Magoo movie.
He should. He'd be perfect.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, so here's Nathan's two sides in one song. This is interesting.
Tonight we are betrayed. Keep Shiloh safe. Make Roddy pay.
On Money's grave.
At the opera. Night.
Whenever they mention Marnie, I thought back to my childhood and my first girlfriend. Not really a girlfriend, but you know, we did little kid stuff. She was my next door neighbor, so she was like
playdate.
Yes, exactly. And her name was Marnie. So every time I heard it, I'm like, oh, Marnie, good times. All right.
What? That was weird.
I know. All right. So, Matt, you've got the next clip. What do you got?
Yes. The grave robber setting up the final act.
Bloodbath. It's gonna be a bloodbath. Because no one crosses Jeanco. No, not even Repo. Will Roddy clean house? Damn, we're gonna find out at the opera. Stay tuned. The winner of this blood feud will take Jeanco.
You know, this kind of got me in the mood, or got me kind of excited to see the Green Day musical movie when it comes out. The American Idiot. That should be pretty good.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Well, I've not even heard of it.
Well,
for obvious reasons.
Yeah, the American Idiot album was made into a musical that was, I think they did their first one on the West Coast, and then they brought it out to New York for Broadway, and now it's being turned into a movie. So that's something.
Because, you know, when I think of Green Day, I think of a band that's history should be chronicled in a musical.
They're just trying to, just trying to spread their wings, trying to broaden their horizons. I think one of my favorite Green Day songs is the what was the long one from American Idiot? I forget now. It's like four songs in one. God, I forget. Never mind. Anessa, why don't you just close this out with the last clip?
All right. In this final clip, Nathan turns into the Repo Man one last time to take revenge on Roddy for taking his daughter.
When Roddy took her from me, stole my Shiloh, he's to blame. Have I failed my daughter? Then let the father die. And let the monster rise.
In our our trivia section a little bit later on, I'm going to tell you about who the musicians were doing the music on this soundtrack, because there were some pretty big name musicians that did the music for this. As you can kind of hear, because it's done very, very well. These guys are no slouches, that's for sure.
Slouches.
All right.
Yes, slouches.
All right, yeah.
They all have great posture. Yeah.
All right, so before we move on to class notes, we have another message from Geneco.
The lungs and the livers and the bladders and hearts. You'll always save a bundle when you buy our Geneco parts. Slings and intestines and spines and brains. All at warehouse prices, but our quality's the same. Geneco.
You have to admit, Matt, that is awesome. That right there, that is pretty cool.
I'm not agreeing with anything you said.
Oh, come on, please.
Whether or not
humor
I
me.
Agree. Like I said, I thought the premise of the movie was really cool. And if there was singing like only in the commercials or like, I don't know, one or two songs to the actual story, it wouldn't have been that bad. There's too much singing.
All right. All right, I'll let you...
Singing makes Matt angry.
Yeah.
Rawr.
Matt smash.
Me no like happy.
All right, moving on. Before we do our class notes and trivia, let's talk about the other podcasts on the Galactic Netcast Network. We have this thing called a Mega Feed. And with it, you'll get every single one of our shows. You don't have to subscribe to each subscribe. That sounds funny. Subscribe. Subscribe. And anyways, subscribe.
Road.
Somebody's a space cadet today.
I know. It's from sitting in front of this computer all day long doing very detailed work. All right. So... instead of subscribing to each individual podcast, you can subscribe to the mega feed. Just go to galacticnetcasts.com and click on subscribe, or no, contact subscribe, and then either do the iTunes logo or fill out the email form. And that way you'll get every single one of our shows fed to your iTunes or your podcatcher every day. Not every day, but... you know, three times a week at least. All right, so there we go. Let's move on to class notes. These are our observations, and we've pretty much touched on a lot of them, I think, so far. But I have a few things written down here. I loved their holographic communicator wristwatch thingy. What'd you guys think of that?
Very technical.
Yeah, no, sorry, I had to think of, I had to like remember what it was, but it was different. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was neat tech. It was very neat technology.
You didn't see who was calling. Like, you didn't have to like look and be like, do I recognize the number? Because instead you get the person's face, it pops up.
Yeah, kind of one step away from that whole Google Glass thing that they're talking about doing, or that's actually...
You love Google Glasses.
Yes, I want those now. I don't want it. Okay, say you're in a store or you're out doing something or you're in the car and your phone rings or you get a text message or you get an update from Facebook or Twitter or whatever. You always have to dig your phone out and actually look on your phone. With these glasses, it'll just pop up. You won't have to do anything. You'll just see it when it happens. I know Matt doesn't like anything, so let's move on.
I hate everything.
Matt, smash! All right. The granny DJ at the Genetic Opera was pretty awesome. Did you guys remember that? The granny DJ?
Yes.
Did you see her?
Did you see the Ben Franklin looking guy? He was kind of cool too.
No, I did not. There was...
they showed him like two or three times. He had like a big scar across his chin.
Okay. Like... there were some really cool-looking people at that opera, I have to say. Let's see. I was very impressed with Paris Hilton's performance. We already talked about that. I was actually just more impressed with how she put herself out there and with the whole her face being all mangled and stuff. The filmmakers really raided the bondage shops in Los Angeles to make this movie, I think. A lot of leather, like, cuffs and... and braces and anything that you would see in a bondage shop you saw in this movie, I swear to God.
A lot of sexy clothings.
Yes.
Indeed.
All right, so there you go. Do you guys have any more observations to add?
I think we've covered most of the observations that I've had or can think of off the top of my head.
Any?
Fairly certain everyone knows my gripe with this film, so I don't have to talk anymore.
Yeah, I don't think we need any more input from Matt. All right. Just stay in your corner and be quiet, Matt. All right.
Yeah, just let me know when it's my turn to speak.
All right, let's do the test. Hang on 1 second. I got to find the right thing. Here we go. Of course, this is the section of the podcast where we find out if Matt was actually paying attention during the movie. And we also find out how much Inessa is going to kick Matt's ass in the test.
Why do I keep coming back to this? All you guys do is make fun of me. People in the
okay.
chat room are dicks.
All right.
Why?
Okay, Matt, calm down. Calm down. Matt, don't smash.
Roll things around. I need a nice hot cup of tea to calm my nerves.
Okay, here is how the test is going to work. We have changed it just a little bit. Each person will have an assigned question. If you don't get it, then the next person can steal. All right? Makes sense, right?
So how many questions did you write?
8 questions and a tiebreaker.
Ooh, okay. So nicely done.
Are you both sitting comfortably?
Not really, but
sure,
I'll deal.
All right. Who wants to go first?
I will go first.
All right. Here we go. First question for Inessa. This is a straight answer, no multiple choice. Where does the drug Zydrate come from?
It comes from the dead nose.
What's the answer?
I said it comes from the dead. Like, they stick up a needle up the person's nose and stick it in their brain and then extract it. At least that's what the grave robber did.
All right, way to go, Inessa. All right, Matt, your question. How old is Shiloh?
17.
17 is correct. See? You've got an advantage in the way that we're playing this game now. See, you can you have a chance to win this. There was a song about her age, I believe.
Yes, there was.
Did I cap that?
Where she got smacked at the end. That was
kind of
awesome.
Inessa likes abuse. I don't know.
Apparently I do.
Yeah. Inessa, your question. What is the name of the place that Jinko holds their Italian Renaissance celebration? And this is multiple choice. Was it A, Jinko Circle, B, the Sanitarium Square, or C, Organ Park?
Man, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
That's like a detail that I never really paid much attention to. So what were the first two options?
Jinko Circle, A, B, Sanitarium Square, or C, Organ Park.
I'm going to go with Jinko Circle.
And Matt, you have a chance to steal. What's your answer?
I believe the answer is Sanitarium Square.
All right. So far the score is Matt has 2 and Inessa has 1 correct. I should keep track of these. Hang on 1 second.
Probably should.
I got so much stuff on my screen, it's hard to pay attention. All right. So much going on here, man. All right. Let me just... So, Vanessa has 1 point, and Matt has 2 points. All right. I'm not used to keeping track so intently, because usually Vanessa just runs away with it. So... Not used
Jesus.
To this. So Matt, you had the rat. That was Anessa's question that you stole, and here is your
yes.
your very own question. Who was Blind Meg's best friend?
Blind Meg's best friend was Marnie, I believe.
That is correct. Matt has 3 points. Anessa has 1 point. Anessa, here is your question. What was the name of the magazine that Shiloh was reading in her bed about Blind Meg's contract? This is multiple choice, so don't freak out.
Evening Slice.
Wow, holy crap. Just on it, like a bonnet. All right.
Like a bonnet.
Yes. You never heard that before?
No. Although I did see a bonnet yesterday on a little old lady at German Fest. It was adorable.
Yeah, that would be adorable.
It had sunflowers and everything.
And that would be the place to see people in weird clothing like that. You know, that's the thing with like festivals. People will wear things that they wouldn't normally wear in public at festivals. Not even like festival specific things, just to have the chance to wear something in public that they could get away with because they're at a festival or some kind of gathering.
Exactly.
All right. Matt, question six. Here we go. What did Blind Meg do to show Shiloh it was safe to let her into the house?
She projected a video of her mom using her Ginkgo eyeballs.
That is correct. Congratulations. You still lead 4-2. And back to Anessa. Question seven. What did...
No pressure?
What? What?
I was going to say no pressure, Anessa, but yeah. If you get this wrong and I steal it, I win
wow.
by default.
Wow.
Two best words in the English language.
See, this is like...
By default.
This is actually some competition. Default. Here we go.
I know. It's about time.
What? Yeah, after 28 episodes, I think we're actually finally getting it down. Question number seven. What did Carmelo Largo change her name to?
Amber Sweet.
Amber Sweet.
Crap.
Is correct. So, Anessa is sneaking up. The score is Matt has 4, Anessa has 3. Matt, your question. What were the dancing girls at the Genetic Opera called? And this is multiple choice. Was it A?
God.
The Ginkgo.
I know this one.
The Ginkgo Co's. The Ginkgo Co's. The Gen Turns, or C, the Fresh Cut Dancers.
So, can you say those again?
The Ginkgo Co's, the Gen Turns, or the Fresh Cut Dancers.
Crap. I'm going to say the Fresh Cut Dancers.
Sorry, man. Anessa, your chance to steal. What's your answer?
Gen Turns.
Yeah. Gen Turns.
All right, let's find out if you win.
She doesn't win. It's tied 4-4. She doesn't win.
No, I know. That was just...
There's a tiebreaker.
Yeah, I know. That was just
yeah, but...
I wanted to play something else.
She that was awfully sweet victory music just for her to tie it.
Well, it was hard fought. That's why.
So how does this tiebreaker
work?
Okay, I never thought of that.
Because the whole point was to do each individual question, so you wouldn't have to worry about delays and connection.
Okay.
So.
Okay, I'm thinking.
They're like.
Okay, here we go.
Two questions.
How about this? Yeah, I would. We would have to have two questions, right? Crap.
Yeah.
I didn't think of this through all the way. Whoops.
It was
okay. First person to raise their hand.
Oh,
all right.
But then we're dealing with packet loss and internet lag. Come on.
Well, there's no
that
other
was
way.
Our
to,
problem before.
I don't have another question, so there's no other way to do it. I'm
went up.
Let us both answer and. Potentially, we'll have different answers, and one of us will be right, and the other will be wrong. Like Final Jeopardy.
Okay. Do you have something? Do you have something to write on?
No.
There's a chat room, or we can just both answer.
Okay. Yeah. Answer in the chat room. Type your answer into the chat room. All right. But
Mike knows what's up.
But don't look.
All right.
Okay, eyes up. Look at me. Don't look at the screen. Look at me. All right. Okay.
But I have to look at my screen.
If I look
at you,
then it's gonna look like I'm looking at like the chat room.
Oh, okay.
It's right there.
Look to your right.
So.
All right, here we go.
Let me make sure I'm in the chat room first. All right, good. I'm good.
Oh yeah, eyes closed. All right.
What if I can't type with my eyes closed?
Okay, this could be a disaster. Right. Let's find out. What language? Okay, here we go. What language was Blind Mag? Okay, what language was Blind Mag singing in the final genetic opera?
I've submitted my answer.
Matt, waiting on you.
So clearly she knows it. I don't know it, so that's mine.
Pakistani.
Guess what? Anessa, you are the winner. Okay, clearly I got to figure out a better tie-breaking scenario situation there. A better way to do that next time.
Up until the tiebreaker, it was good.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, kinks need to be ironed out, and that's what we're doing, all right? All right, congratulations.
All right.
Anessa, you are the winner of this week's quiz test thing.
Yay.
Matt, are you keeping track of the score?
Winning.
Are you guys keeping track of the score? Are you keeping track of the score still?
Yep. Absolutely not. I only mark it down when I win, which hasn't been for a long, long time.
Aw.
I don't think I've won since What's-Her-Face started.
What's-Her-Face?
I think we tied, and that was the closest to winning. There was a tie in there one.
All right. Doesn't matter.
We were both winners.
All right, let's move on to...
I'm really busy on Mondays.
Let's move on to the trivia, and I got some pretty good stuff here. There was a lot of information on this movie. There are some somewhat famous musicians, as I teased before, who performed the music for the soundtrack, including Clown from Slipknot, Stephen Perkins from Jane's Addiction, Richard Patrick from Filter, and Ray Lazier from Korn. So some pretty heavy hitters there. Bill Moseley, I think we already talked about this. Bill Moseley, who played Luigi Largo, famous for appearing in cult films such as House of 10,000 Corpses and The Devil's Rejects. His first big role was Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. He has also released records with guitarist Buckethead in the band Corn Bugs. Are you familiar with Corn Bugs there, Matt?
Never heard of them.
Okay.
Probably for valid reason.
Yeah. Repo, the Genetic Opera, holds the record for the most songs ever composed into one film, with a total of 64. Some were cut from the final edit of the film. Malero Krager of Rasputina plays cello on the soundtrack. Interesting. So we had Malero Krager from Rasputino, and we had Joan Jett and some other famous people, other famous musicians. Director Darren Lynn Bousman originally refused to hold an audition for Paris Hilton. He didn't think she would be capable and feared media backlash for accusations of stunt casting. When he finally caved in, Paris came to the audition dressed perfectly for the part and rocked the sound booth audition. After the audition, he was convinced she would play the role, and she actually brought a lot of her own clothes to the set. Like, a lot of the clothes that you see the people wearing are Paris Hilton's clothes. So she was like the wardrobe person as well. What's that, Matt?
Said go figure.
Yeah. Yeah, she could I'm sure that Paris Hilton has enough clothes to clothe a small African country.
They're going to just say a small African child.
Yeah, I could. That'd be one.
Probably.
I'd feel sorry for that child. He'd be hot. Okay. The producers have stated that this film is really just the middle part of a planned trilogy. The next chapter will be a prequel to the events shown in this film and is tentatively titled Repo: The Beginning. No time frame has been given for when the production could start on the next movie. When traveling through the underground tunnels, Alexa Vega almost caught her hair on fire due to the many torches around her. And finally, many of the costumes, like I said, worn by Sweet Amber and the support group members were Paris Hilton's own clothes. So there you go. We'll put a link in the show notes to more trivia. Like I said, there's a ton. You could read for hours on this film. And I will put this in the lower third for the Spreecast viewers. And before we reveal next week's assignment, we would like to point you to galacticnetcast.com for links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus accounts. And congratulations, well, not congratulations, but good job, Anessa. You did a fantastic job today and in the past week or so providing Google Plus content. I appreciate that.
It was very girly today. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I saw that earlier, and I was going to post that, but you beat me to it, so... We'll explain what you posted that was very girly.
I had posted a picture of a dress, a Dalek-themed dress. It's a little bit of a how-to, like someone documented how they made a Dalek dress, complete with hat. And then I had posted Marvel Comics-themed eye makeup and a little bit of a how-to to do the Captain America eye makeup. Very girly today.
Maybe we should make Mondays the girl day for posting stuff. I don't know.
Who knows?
Anyways, back to my original point. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. We have the links on the website, galacticnetcast.com. Also, on the site, we have a bunch of science fiction news, videos, and pictures, and all kinds of cool stuff. That's galacticnetcasts.com. All right, you guys ready for next week's assignment?
No.
You are going to love this, Matt. I have a feeling.
Why?
Because I know that you like these type of movies. So here we go. I'm going to throw this into the lower third. Next week's assignment is the 1959 B-movie classic, Plan 9 from Outer Space. When the population of Hollywood and Washington, D.C. sees flying saucers in the sky, a colonel, a police lieutenant, and a commercial pilot, his wife, and a policeman try to stop the aliens. Directed by Edward D. Wood Jr., of course, Ed Wood was a movie about Edward D. Wood Jr. making this movie. And Plan 9 from Outer Space is not available on Netflix, but it is available on archive.org, and I'll put the link in the show notes if you want to follow along and watch Plan 9 from Outer Space with us, and then join us next week. I'll put the link in the show notes of this podcast for next week's show, and you guys will both have the link. So, yeah, it's available for free. There's a ton of stuff on archive.org. In fact, we host our podcasts on archive.org. So it's a great free service that you can just listen to stuff and watch movies for free. So check it out. Any closing thoughts before we get out of here, guys?
Waiting for Dave to pick a good movie.
Matt Smash.
No, I don't want to smash. Matt's sleepy.
Aww. Matt Knapp.
Matt Knapp. Okay, we're done, so you can go to sleep now, Matt. Go ahead. No, I want you to put your head down on the table. Go to sleep.
Is this like middle school?
Yes, go to it's nap time.
Heads up, 7 up.
All right, so that's it for Galactic Netcasts, the Sci-Fi Film School number 28. Until next time, thanks for listening or watching. We'll talk to you guys soon. Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.